Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We'd like to invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Again, Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to open your word every day and hear directly from heaven as we simply spend time reading and meditating and thinking on your word. Lord, thank you for the truth that you will spend as much time with us as we'll spend with you in your word and in prayer. Teach us to see then and grow in our understanding of the great value of spending significant time in your word every day, significant time in prayer, and help us to make these some of the high priorities of our day every single day. And help us to know, Lord, that as we hear and read and meditate on your word, we'll come to know your heart and your will and the way you see and address issues in every area of life, and especially in the area of life. We thank you and praise you for the wonderful gift your word is to us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. And I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you, I'd like to invite you to go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com. And please do subscribe. We'd be glad to have you to just check out the website and take a look at some of the articles there and some of the other features that are there that'll bless and encourage you as a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you also, too, that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do to get one is to go to your app store and search Urban Family Talk. And remember, with the app, you can take Urban wherever you may go. So I hope you'll take the time to do that as well. Also, we invite you to our Facebook page, Hour of Intercession. Actually, two different pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. And, of course, you can tune in with us at Hour of Intercession Live by way of Facebook. And we appreciate you listening, whether you're listening by way of radio or Facebook, Afrika TV, whatever means, we appreciate you tuning in and being a part of our listening family. Today, we're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Reverend Henry Flowers. Reverend Flowers is the Urban Outreach Director of Life Issues Institute. Reverend Flowers, how are you today?
Pastor Parker, I am really excited about being alive today, and I'm glad to be on the program with you.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us on the broadcast today, and I trust you had a blessed and an encouraging and a fun Christmas, you and your family, and I appreciate you being with us so quick after Christmas.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed my time, spent some good quality time with my family, got a chance to rest and reflect some on the year that was 2016, and I certainly am looking forward to bigger and better for next year.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. Now, Reverend Flowers, as we start off, I would like to ask if you'll to share with our listeners a little bit more about yourself and your ministry. You've been on with us. It's been a little bit, but you've been on with us some time ago. But if you would take time to share with our listeners what Life Issues Institute is all about and what you're the division that you direct, the Urban Outreach Division of the ministry in particular.
Life Issues Institute is a pro-life organization that is on a logic and reason-based level, taking the pro-life conversation throughout the nation and throughout the world. I am the Urban Outreach Director of Protecting Black Life, which is a subsidiary of Life Issues Institute. And my specific job is to take the pro-life conversation into the black community, which is a very a strenuous job, mostly because many blacks don't realize how devastating an impact abortion has had in the black community. And also, those same group of people are just, as a whole, not willing to have that conversation. There's a lot of broken trust when it comes to the abortion conversation in the black community. And so I've got a lot of work to do, and I certainly need God's help every day and every hour. But this is something that I've given my life to and something that I love.
That's good. That's good. And so now tell me, what city are you located in?
Well, I am. My institute is based out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay, then. All righty. And let's see, Brant Mattis. Mattis is the president of the ministry. Is that correct?
Correct. Brad Mattis is the president, and he and the late Dr. Jack Wilkie started this endeavor, more than some time ago. I think it's been more than 20 years now, mm-hmm. where they have been doing the work, this great work, and reaching the people of this United States and just saying, hey, we have got to become the guardians of those who cannot guard themselves and stopping this this Holocaust, this American Holocaust of abortion. For me, when it comes to my part in this work, I know that abortion is a symptom. It's mm-hmm. a symptom of a greater problem, which is, especially in the black community, it is the breakdown of the family.
That's right.
And that is something that is a real, real concern for the black community and a place where we can make some huge strides and efforts.
Amen. Amen. Now, let me mention this, Reverend Flowers, as we start off. I want to share, as we start, I want to help us kind of frame the direction we'll be going in by sharing just a brief illustration, an actual illustration that draws out the problem. So many times, because abortion has been so politicized and talked about in circles in ways that as if it's really not a big deal, sadly, you have lots of people that really aren't very sensitive to the tragedy that abortion is. It's the killing of children in the womb. It's the taking of unborn life. And the sad reality is, for many people, it's commonplace and it's not really considered a big deal. I want to share with you as a way of kind of a jump off conversation starter for the direction we'll be going in, an illustration. It's simply a little reading entitled A Worried Woman. It says, a worried woman went to her gynecologist and said, "Doctor, I have a serious problem and desperately need your help. My baby is not even 1 year old and I'm pregnant again. I don't want kids so close together." So the doctor said, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" She said, "I want you to end my pregnancy and I'm counting on your help to do this." The doctor thought for a little, and after some silence, he said to the lady, "I think I have a better solution for your problem. It's less dangerous for you too. She smiled, thinking that the doctor was going to accept her request. Then he continued, "You see, in order for you not to have to take care of two babies at the same time, let's kill the one in your arms. This way you could rest some before the other one is born. If we're going to kill one of them, it doesn't matter which one it is. And there would be no risk for your body if you chose the one in your arms." The lady was horrified and said, "How terrible. It's a crime to kill a child." "I agree," the doctor replied, "but you seem to be okay with it, so I thought maybe that was the best solution." The doctor smiled, realizing that he had made his point. He convinced the mom that there's no difference in killing a child that's already been born and one that's still in the womb. The crime is the same. And again, Reverend Flowers, again, that illustrates a reality that for many people, they don't consider the baby that hasn't been born yet to even really be a person that counts. And that's part of the sad reality. Would you comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you about the sadness of that condition. And many times it is about personal convenience. The mother is in a situation where she feels like being a mother again would cause her life to be different than what she wants it to be. And therefore, abortion is the best option for her. And to the point that you mentioned in the story about the danger to the mother's health, that is something that is really stands out to me, because often when our young girls go to, or our young women go to the abortion mills, Planned Parenthood is one of the number one providers of abortion. When they go into these places, they aren't given this information. Mm-hmm. They aren't told about the dangers physically. They aren't told about the proven, lasting psychological trauma that can come along with abortion. And also, they aren't told that this is a child. Mm-hmm. This, no matter how many weeks it is or how weeks it isn't, this is a child in your womb, and we're killing a child. And so the young ladies are misled in so many areas, and the arm of Planned Parenthood is constantly reaching for money. That's mm-hmm. their greatest concern. That's billions great. Of dollars are made from the abortion industry, and it's a travesty. Mm-hmm. It's a travesty that must be stopped.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's powerful to think of, too, Reverend Flowers, that sadly, many people don't realize Planned Parenthood is a very wicked organization, and one of their main goals, of course, is making money. Yet they've so sold themselves to our culture to where there are lots of people who don't recognize who they are, and they consider Planned Parenthood to be a very gracious and very thoughtful organization, whereas in reality, I think of as it relates to the black community, and if you'll comment on this as well, the sad reality is Planned Parenthood kills more black babies in a week's time than the KKK killed black folks in 150 years, and that's easily documented. Yet you have plenty of people that would immediately object to even such a statement being made, but it's easily verifiable. But would you comment on that?
That's absolutely verifiable. As a matter of fact, you can go to the latest research done by the Center for Disease Control. The 2014 Center for Disease Control report says that more blacks are killed through abortion than violent crimes, accidents, diabetes, AIDS, and several other categories combined, including cancer. Now, combined. Mm-hmm. None of those adds up to how many children are killed in abortion, and especially in the black community, whereas the black female represents 13% of society, yet she's responsible for 33% of the abortions in this country.
Reverend Flowers, we're going to jump in right here. We're coming up on a break. We'll pick up right there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Reverend Henry Flowers, the director, the Urban Outreach Director of Life Issues Institute. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
This whole idea of, I'm an independent woman, I got me, I got this, is not something a woman of God should say, or any believer for that matter. Today's society is so focused on self-indulgent that seeking the Lord and His will is so last decade. A life full of purpose and blessings can only occur for those who are like Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He tells the Lord, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a person's mind, but it is the counsel of the Lord which will stand." The thing is, a fulfilled life is one who seeks the Creator of life. To sum it up, don't go after your dreams. Go after what God has called you to do. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
When you can love someone even after they've humiliated you or sought to harm you, then you know you've got something. John 15:12 tells us to love each other as Christ has loved us. In and of yourself, it can't be done. Inevitably, there will be someone who will push just the right button, and that other side of you will come out. But when Jesus sets us free from ourselves and all that entangles our desires, He can fill our hearts with His love. That love will allow us to face criticism, misunderstanding, and even rejection. One of the things that we should be seeking out and that should occupy our agenda is to love one another better. So as you look to your goals, don't just concentrate on the outside goals. Include spiritual goals too, and include those areas where God needs to do some work. Loving your brother or sister in the face of humiliation is a great goal and an even greater measuring stick that you're growing. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love Him, longing for a child that will give Him their all, give it all, He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give Him their it all, He wants it all, and He says, love me with your whole heart, He wants it all today, serve me with your life now, He wants it all today, bow down, let go of your idols, He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And He says, love me with your
The music of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And before we get back to our phone guest, I want to remind you once again, if you're one who, if you haven't gotten one already, something that it would be a great resource for you to get coming into the new year is, it's our prayer tools resource. And I want to remind you that, again, all you need to do is email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to email it to you. It's a tool that simply helps to kind of jumpstart and empower your prayer life. And it's seven biblically-based prayers that come directly, either directly from the Word of God or are based on the Word of God, that are very helpful to prayers to pray every single day. And it doesn't take a real long time to pray through them, but very fruitful prayers to pray every single day. So I hope you'll take time. Simply email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Let me also share with you real briefly that I want to share a Bible quiz question, and simply email us at that same email, jparker@afa.net, or else text me at 662-321-5859. Question for today, where in the Bible do you find, and I want chapter and, you know, book chapter, where in the Bible do you find the Ten Commandments, and it's found there, of course, in their entirety? So if it's found more than one time, give me every place it's found. Now, I'll give you a hint. You only find it in its entirety twice. What book, what chapter do you find the Ten Commandments in their entirety in the Word of God? Give me the answer to that. What books you find the whole Ten Commandments in the Word of God? Again, jparker@afa.net. Or 662, text me at 662-321-5859. And if you can give us, if you're one of the first three persons to contact us, we'd like to drop into the mail to you a copy of the fun Bible movie, Raggedy Bibles. And remember, too, that movie does teach you about the importance of being a student of the Word of God, and it covers the Ten Commandments. So again, jparker@afa.net. Or the number 662-321-5859. Our phone guest is Reverend Henry Flowers. He's the Urban Outreach Director at Life Issues Institute. Reverend Flowers, would you pick up where you left off as you were sharing? Just you continue to share your heart about just some of the sad statistics out there about how heavily abortion has tragically affected the African-American community.
Yeah, and it's really sad to be, because mostly this thing is happening because there's just an unawareness about how devastating an impact abortion is having in the black community. So the black female represents 13% of society, and she is responsible for 33% of the abortions in this country. That's according to the 2014 Centers for Disease Control report. And also, when it comes to Planned Parenthood, and many of us, especially in the black community, many of us have a good attitude towards Planned Parenthood because we believe that they are helping our community. Mm-hmm. But the results of their services, which most of their service provision is abortion,
That's right.
Those results are devastating our community. And if you go to my website, protectingblacklife.org, that's protectingblacklife.org, protectingblacklife.org, and you go to the resources tab, and then if you click on the tab that says Planned Parenthood, you will see where we have done the research that shows all of the Planned Parenthood facilities and how surprisingly their abortion, surgical abortion facilities are within a 2-mile walking distance from black and minority communities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, when I look at that, if I didn't know anything, I would say, okay, well, you know, you target the area of most need.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could look at it like that, or you could also say that this is a plan. And if you look back at the history of Planned Parenthood, you'll come in contact with a person of Margaret Sanger, and you'll begin to look at her plan, where her plan was to eliminate the misfits from society, mm-hmm. those who were destined to be poor, to be criminals, to be diseased, epileptics, as she referred. And she also referred to these people as human weeds who need to be plucked from mm-hmm. society. Mm-hmm. So when you tie all of those things together, you have to begin to just take a look at it and say, you know what, this is possibly a plan that has been devised by the enemy.
That's right.
Who is
That's
our right. spiritual enemy. Of course, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but this is a spiritual battle. The enemy's design to kill the unborn children is working, and we need to fight against it.
That is so true, Reverend Flowers. And I think of this, that, you know, years ago I had the opportunity to live in the Nashville community, and Nashville is a prime example of the way Planned Parenthood works. The largest abortion clinic in Middle Tennessee is the Planned Parenthood Clinic near downtown Nashville. It's located on a street called D.B. Todd. That street runs, it's about two blocks from Fisk University and two blocks from Meharry Medical College, and then about eight blocks from Tennessee State University, all within walking distance of three major black schools. As you said, that's very much planned. That's the way they operate. They set up in minority neighborhoods, and they market themselves extremely, extremely so to the black community, so much so that you have that great, tremendous support from black leaders, and that's tragic. It's tragic. The largest Planned Parenthood clinic in the nation in Houston, Texas, in a minority neighborhood as well. So it's borne out, sadly, in too many instances in different metropolitan areas.
And also, with that same thing, with these abortion mills being planted in the areas that you mentioned, you know, people can say, well, you know, these college kids and in the black community, these are the areas of most need. But you can also turn it around and look at it and say, Planned Parenthood is saying to this society that abortion is the answer to your misgivings. Abortion mm-hmm. can be used as birth control.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest problem, well, my second biggest problem with Planned Parenthood, other than the fact that they're killing children, my second biggest problem is that they're not giving people the information. They're not telling these young people about all of their options. They're mm-hmm. not telling these young people about the pregnancy centers that are there to help them overcome the fear of not being able to afford a child.
That's
They're
right.
not telling people about the church that can actually come along and provide other options. They're not telling them about the wonderful choice of adoption. They're not telling our young men this, what I wish I was told when I was 19 and I dropped my girlfriend off at the abortion mill. They're not telling these young men about the ongoing psychological weight that you carry called lost fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 42 years old, and a day doesn't go by that I don't think about the son that I lost mm-hmm. at the abortion mill that day. If you're going to give me a prescription for a problem that I have, give me all the information about any possible side effects and give me some choices. That's what's not happening concerning Planned Parenthood.
That's right. That's right. And it's powerful and sad to look at that. But again, they're trying to sell the abortion, but don't tell you about all the negative repercussions that come from making that sad, sad choice. And, you know, we often say it's a woman's issue, and of course it is, but it's, again, just as much a men's issue from this standpoint. There are lots of men who become victims of abortion as well in so many ways that often our society doesn't really think about because, for example, often, even though people say it's a woman's choice, in so many instances, there's a man somewhere in the background, he's telling her, you're going to get an abortion. And, of course, even though she may even want to keep the child or she may be on the fence, but often if the man demands it, which happens very sadly very often, often she will do just what he tells her. And, but
And Pastor Parker, this speaks to another issue that is very key. this is another opportunity where men, in general, have failed mm-hmm. when we allow abortion to be considered a woman's issue.
That's
you see, we look at the Bible, and the Bible says that sin came into the world by one man.
Mm-hmm.
But although we know Eve sinned first,
mm-hmm.
but why is the sin not accounted to Eve? Why? Because God gave the commandment to man to not do something. And so the sins of the world are laid upon the shoulders of men.
That's
and
right.
it's exactly what's happening with abortion. We once again have allowed women to bear the burden of a sin that is laid upon our shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
That young lady didn't get pregnant by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She shouldn't have to bear the burden of that pregnancy alone. But
mm-hmm.
because many men who get into the situation, like I was when I was 19, many men were just thinking about ourselves. And
right.
I was the most important thing in my life when I was 19. That's why her only option, as far as I was concerned, was to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a failure of men, and this is where the church comes in, where the church can begin to be mentors to so many of our fatherless young men and to be able to help our men on a spiritual level to regain the authority that was given to men by God to be able to steer our families and
mm-hmm.
our communities and our society in the right direction by reclaiming our connection to God.
That is so true. Reverend Flowers, would you take time to pray now? Pray for the church as a whole to address that they would more and more would really address this issue in the ways that you're speaking of. And for men in particular, would you lift those matters up in prayer?
Yeah, let's pray. So, Lord, I do thank you for your constant command for men to hold up the banner of righteousness. And, Lord, I admit that we have failed in such a great way. And I believe, Lord, that the world would be better when men are better. So I pray, Lord, that you would allow the church to rise up and to be teachers and fishers of men, and to help us men to get back to where you wanted us to be in the first place, with full right standing with you, walking in your ways, and teaching our children your precepts. Help us, Lord, as the church, as pastors and ministers and evangelists and preachers and teachers, help us more and more to be fishers of men. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Flowers. You know, going back to what you were just speaking of a moment ago, obviously we see that women, sadly, are the victims of abortion in so many different ways. Often, sadly, women become suicidal. Sometimes they deal with depression after going down the road of abortion. Sometimes they have nightmares. Some women hear babies in the night. Just all sorts of sad repercussions. Yet at the same time, often we forget that the men, again, often have so many tragic repercussions as well, because we think of this as we were just speaking of. The fact is often men are the ones who are in the background encouraging the abortion, but then there are those who, for example, men who abandon the woman and just let her do whatever she chose, and she chose the abortion after having been abandoned. And then there are those men who they tried to oppose her but knew they had no power, and she had the opportunity to make the choice all by herself. Again, all these persons end up being victims in one way or another of the tragedy of abortion. So, but and again, I appreciate you just being so candid about your own testimony, because again, men can change and grow back to be the man God wants them to be. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Reverend Henry Flowers. We'll be right back.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
Dr. Tony Evans says God is cooking up an exciting destiny for each one of us. But before He serves it up, the ingredients need some serious preparation. He'll talk about that process today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Have you ever been to a real pizzeria? I'm talking about one run by the Italians. I ain't talking about the fake pizza. I'm talking about the real deal. You know what they do? They take a wad of dough and then abuse it. They slam it down, bam! They take a rolling pin and mash it. They flatten it. Now they done already thrown it down. Now they gonna flatten it out. Come on now, I want the good stuff. I want the sausage and the pepperoni and the cheese and the sauce and the tomatoes. I want the good stuff. But if you're eating a pizza, you can't get the good stuff until the dough has been made ready to receive it. See, you can't just put the good stuff until the dough has been slammed, flattened, and spun. But after it's been slammed, flattened, and spun, now you've positioned it to receive the pepperoni and the sausage and the cheese and the sauce. I know you all want the good stuff. You want to arrive to destiny, and we're going to get to the good stuff. But before we get to the good stuff, God's got some preparation He needs to make, and that may include some slamming and some flattening and some spinning. But what He's doing is getting you ready for the sausage, pepperoni, cheese, and sauce. He's getting you ready for the good stuff by creating the situation that prepares you to receive it.
Learn more about how God is preparing you for the good stuff. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Joseph, Detours to Destiny, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
We overcome tonight because it's in God that we live and move and have our being. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, to overcome through the power of His name.
You're listening to the music of Alvin Slaughter, the song Mighty Praise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest is Reverend Henry Flowers. He's the Urban Outreach Director with Life Issues Institute. And Reverend Flowers, if someone would like to get in touch with you and learn more about the work that you're doing or your ministry, how would they do that?
It's quite a few ways to reach me. They can certainly contact me on Facebook. Just look up Henry Flowers, H-E-N-R-Y, Flowers, F-L-O-W-E-R-S.
Okay.
And they can also search for Protecting Black Life on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. And you can send me an email at henry.flowers@protectingblacklife.org.
Okay. Okay, then. And also recently, Reverend Flowers, you and I were speaking about a very effective and a great outreach that CareNet has begun. I think the title is Making Life Disciples. And it educates people about the life issue, but also helps to educate people about the wonderful outreach that is being provided by pregnancy clinics in our culture. Would you comment on that?
See, Pastor Parker, this is a real, real powerful effort that God is making behind the scenes to push back the scourge of abortion. Mm-hmm. I've spoken with several executives from CareNet as I go throughout the nation and share my story and also push this agenda of life disciples being available at these pregnancy centers that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
See, in addition to Planned Parenthood, there are also multiple more pregnancy help centers that are out there where they're just godly people who want to give you all the information, all of your options, tell you everything that's on the table when it comes to an unplanned pregnancy. They want to help in real ways with parenting classes, giving these young people diapers and wipes and strollers and clothing and all these kinds of things to help them during this unplanned pregnancy situation. Well, these places are also often understaffed, and they need more and more volunteers.
That's right.
That's where the church comes alongside, and the pastor gets to send his ministers and his teachers and his Bible study leaders and to send them as evangelists into the harvest field. Mm-hmm. And so that when these young people who come to these pregnancy centers, which 60% of the young people who come into the pregnancy centers are unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's a huge opportunity for evangelism. And as I speak to pastors regularly, I often say, I don't go to pastors and say, hey, Pastor, my name is Henry Flowers. I want to talk to you about abortion in the black community. Mm-hmm. No, I go to these pastors and I say, hey, Pastor, I know you've been doing a great job in teaching and raising up fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you like to show your fishers of men a place where fish are jumping in the boat? And that's the tremendous opportunity that happens every day at our pregnancy centers.
That
we
is
just
so true.
Don't know about it, and it's your and my job to spread the word.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's powerful to think about, Reverend Flowers. The fact is, and it's so true, that often when women come to a pregnancy clinic, they're very much in crisis. They're going through great mm-hmm. difficulty. Lots and lots of these in women, and sometimes the boyfriend or the husband as well, often come there and get saved. Often are directed to Christ as being the answer to the crisis that they're going through as well. So, again, lots of evangelism, discipleship, and pastoral outreach ministry happens at so many of these pregnancy clinics.
And I have been there. I have been at that pregnancy center when a young man came in distraught, he and his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
thinking that abortion was the best option for them. And I simply gave them all of their options. And I took the young man, after meeting with him by myself,
mm-hmm.
I took him in with his girlfriend once she gave her permission.
Mm-hmm.
He went back with her for the ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Pastor, I share this from the platform when I go out and speak at fundraisers for pregnancy centers.
Mm-hmm.
This guy says, Henry, when I saw the ultrasound, I saw my child.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
and
right.
Pastor Parker, that child is alive today, possibly because I was there volunteering at the pregnancy centers.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of powerful thing has happened over and over again. I've led so many young men to the Lord at these pregnancy centers, and
mm-hmm.
more and more it's happening. But quite frankly, you know, we can't do it alone. We need help. And all of us can contribute in a powerful way where we just volunteers with us 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
With just very little training, where you could just be there to talk to these young men and the young women to be able to say, hey, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. How can I help you through this situation mm-hmm. and let God do his work?
That's right. That's right. You know, Reverend Flowers, you make a powerful point, and I would want to challenge every single listener, wherever you are, whatever community you live in, find out where your local pregnancy clinic or clinics are located and go and volunteer. But if you can't volunteer, send a donation. Maybe approach your church and ask your church if they'll give a contribution, because, again, there's great needs. Also, giving items like diapers and different baby items, they always need those because all their services are free. Unlike Planned Parenthood, that charges lots and lots of money for the abortion services they provide, these pregnancy clinics provide all their services for free. And they can use all the support they can get from church and believers as well. So would you take time now to pray again for our listeners that they would really take it on themselves to take the time to find out and get involved with supporting their local pregnancy clinic?
Let's pray. Lord God, it has been your call.
Thank you, Lord.
Since Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Jesus.
Lord, that's your commission to us. And there's a great fulfilling of your commission available at the pregnancy centers.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I
Jesus.
Just pray that more and more you would give me and Pastor Parker all the other people, including those at CareNet, give us more and more the opportunity to share this tremendous resource that we have at the pregnancy centers for evangelism.
Thank
to help
Lord
these young
Jesus,
people man. When they're in these desperate, desperate situations. And Lord, all of this is for your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord,
Jesus,
you man. Gave your son
Thank
that
you,
we
Lord.
All might have life and have it more
Thank
abundantly.
You, Jesus, man.
Help us, Lord, to fulfill that commission in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, I do thank you and I praise you for every person listening, Lord. And Lord, pour out your spirit of grace and compassion upon every person listening, and I pray along with Reverend Flowers, Lord, help them to not just think about this. Help them to decide, I'm going to get up and become a part of helping to save babies, and help them to do whatever it is you put on their heart to do, to come alongside and work with their local pregnancy clinics as well. And Lord, raise up more churches that will become heavily involved with supporting them in their prayers, through their financial giving, and through the sending of volunteers as well. Lord, help every believer to know there's something we can do to help save babies and support the great work they're doing. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You know, to our listeners, many of you know, sometimes Victoria McIntosh co-hosts with me. Well, she and I, both of us, have the opportunity to work through ministry, our local pregnancy clinic called Empower, which goes into the schools and provides abstinence-based education. And, of course, that's one more great way that pregnancy clinics minister to the communities. Often they provide and basically just abstinence education in the local schools. And again, they provide it for free. And so it's a great way to really get involved with important outreach into our communities, getting involved with the work pregnancy clinics do. And remember, to every listener too, it's not just a nice thing to do. There's a desperate need for the work that these clinics do. Don't think of it as a nice little thing to do. Think of it as something that clearly is a great kingdom work you can get involved with. So, well, Reverend Flowers, our time is almost gone. Anything else you'd like to share in the way of encouragement to believers to get involved with the kind of work that Life Issues Institute is so involved with doing in our culture?
I'd like to finally say to all of those who, like me, have abortion in their past. Many of you have had an abortion. Not many of you are blessed enough to have survived an abortion, as I have. I want you to know that there is restoration and forgiveness and healing through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The same forgiveness that my mother received when I told her that I forgave her for her attempts to abort me, and that I love her unconditionally, that same kind of forgiveness on a God level is available to you if you have abortion in your past. if you would just come to the throne and place all of your burdens there, he is able to forgive you. I am a witness. I paid for an abortion when I was 19, but the forgiveness that I have today washes away,
Amen.
Washes away all of those guilty stains. Mm-hmm. It's available if you'll just reach out for him.
Amen. Amen. Would you take a quick moment before our time comes to an end? Just pray for those individuals now, Reverend Flowers, please.
Father, I am so glad that you are a loving God, and the blood that you provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary, Lord, it washes away all of our guilty stains. Though our sins were scarlet, Lord, you made them white as snow. And I pray that everyone, especially those who have abortion in their past, they made those decisions, Lord, because they thought that was the best thing to do. No mother wants to murder her child when she chooses abortion. She wants that problem to end. Lord, I pray more and more that we see you as the end to all problems.
Yes, Lord.
Because in you, there is grace and forgiveness and restoration,
thank you, Lord,
and healing,
Jesus,
and redemption, and justification through your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what I pray, that everyone who has experienced abortion in their past, that's what I pray that they'll receive. And we love you for providing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Our guest today has been Reverend Henry Flowers. He's the Director of Urban Outreach at Life Issues Institute in Cincinnati, Ohio, and a nationally based ministry that does great, has been doing great work in the kingdom of God for decades. And so we're grateful for your time. Reverend Flowers, share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with you and learn more about Life Issues Institute or the work specifically that you do in reaching into the African-American community, how would they get in touch with you?
Look me up on Facebook, Henry Flowers, or you can also look up Protecting Black Life on Facebook. And you can go to the website, protectingblacklife.org. And Pastor Parker, I thank you so much for being a beacon in the night, shining the light of Christ through this powerful work that you do. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Flowers. Father, thank you, Lord, again, for the great work of Life Issues Institute. Thank you for Reverend Flowers and the Urban Outreach Division of the ministry. Lord, anoint and prosper the work of their hands, more and more empowered to be the ministry you'd have it to be, and cause its influence to increase with every passing day, reaching out and furthering the kingdom of God in every area they are called to do. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening. Our guest was Reverend Henry Flowers, the Urban Outreach Director of Life Issues Institute. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.